All right. I know it's a nice and chilly, nippy day out there, but glad that you are here. And that's the important thing. And by the way, I need to let you be on the alert that you can't hide anything from Pastor Don anymore, because now he has glasses. He could see everything. And so... That's a good thing. I remember when I first got mine and I made a comment. I see someone moving in the back of the wall, like bionic eyes, you know, but that wasn't the case. We are in a series in John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And we are in a series, we're in chapter 3 of 1 John. And I would like for us to turn there, and we're going to read some verses, starting from verse 1. And I know on the PowerPoint is only go up to verse 8, but I'll finish that in my Bible. It kind of set that apart as one thought, one paragraph, one break. It reads, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us." Now, can you think about that? Think about the word lavish. I mean, that goes beyond just ordinary thing. That we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness, but you know that He appears so that He might take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him nor known Him. Dear children, Dear Hope Community Church, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him, and he cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the opportunity that we have, that we have the Bible and we have the Word, and we could read it as often as we want. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought that before I go into this passage of Scripture, that I should share some background information on John, because I believe that we would appreciate him more and appreciate what he has to say to us, because if we know a little bit more about John. Now, John is known as a beloved or beloved disciple of Jesus Christ. He was one of the inner circle that we have: Peter, James, and John. Let's do that. Peter, James, and John. Now, some even say that John was Jesus' favorite. Now, parents, you know how that goes with the children and family members and stuff like that. And as we continue on this teaching and message, you may be inclined to believe the same, that maybe John was a favorite of Jesus. This is at the crucifixion scene. Jesus on the cross, a crown of thorns on his head, and blood dripped down his body. Grief-stricken and heartbroken Mary watched her son in agonizing pain. And Jesus watched his mother as she suffered in grief. And who is beside her? Who is close to her? But John. John was next to her. And Jesus said to John, take care of your mother. Mary was not the mother of John. John was not a biological child of Mary. Mary had other children, probably three or four more brothers, and someone says that there was a daughter in the lineup as well. And so Mary, having had other children, and John was not one of them, why did Jesus choose John and not one of the siblings to take care of his mother? Something for us to think about. But I believe that Jesus saw in John what he did not see in the other siblings. Jesus saw in John the deep, abiding, committed love, not only towards him, Jesus Christ, but towards others, especially for his mother. Maybe John's parents at this time was not wrong, because he was pretty much well in years. And he had that love, not only for Jesus, but he saw that love for Mary. And folks, I want to believe this morning that this was not the regular bumping of fist type of love or shaking of the hands. Okay? This was not just a high five type of love, but I believe that this was a love that was something like this, where it was all entwined, all tangled up. There is a chorus we used to sing, we are wrapped up, tangled up, tied up in Jesus. And that was the kind of love that Jesus saw in John. Can we see if we can identify with some of that and our love for Jesus Christ? Okay, now, Jesus is not to say that Jesus did not love his siblings. I believe he did. And not that Mary had love or they had love for Mary, their mother. Far, very far from the truth. But Jesus knew that when it comes to the long haul, to the end, that John would be the one who would come through, because Jesus said to John, take care of your mother. John saw that mother-child relationship because of the love. I want you to look at a couple of verses in John. And in John chapter 19 and verse 26 and 27. And this is not on the PowerPoint, but when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple, not disciples, meaning the rest of them, they were there, but standing by, he said to his mother, their woman or woman, behold your son. Folks, if you're going to call your mother woman, you better be God. If not, you will be wearing your teeth around your neck. But Jesus is the one. And to the disciple, here is your mother. Telling John that here is your mother, who was not your biological mother. And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. He took care of Jesus' mother. Now, I wanted to check this out. About 6 years ago, we were on a Mediterranean cruise. And one of the places we stopped at was Ephesus. And among other places that our tour guide took us was to a house probably a little bit bigger than this stage, maybe close in between the end of this here and the chair. That was the size of the house, probably not even as long as that. Took us to this house, and we were told that this was the house that Mary, the mother of Jesus, lived in. And that's where she spent her last days. And I tell you what, folks, we walk in that house and we saw the bed and everything else. And you just have the chills. I mean the chills that you never had before as you walk through that house and to the other side. Now, how did Mary get from Nazareth to Ephesus? It was in Nazareth that Jesus says to John, take care of your mother. And he took care of her, took her into his own house. Further research tells me that John was in Ephesus when he wrote the letters. So can you see the connection? When Jesus told John to take care of his mother in Nazareth, John brought her to Ephesus, and it was at Ephesus that John wrote this letter. Quite amazing. But now all that information is free of charge. You don't have to pay for that. That's additional stuff. But let's look at the passage and let's see where we go from here. And I realize that I don't want your lunch to get cold, so I'm going to try to be mindful of that. Maybe at some other time, if anything is left, we will look at this passage. But in this passage, John is asking Christians. John did not write to a particular group. He wrote to Christians in general. To remember the privilege of the Christian life. And at that time he was telling them, then we asked the question, what is the privilege of the Christian life? The privilege is that they were called the children of God. And that's a privilege, folks. That's a privilege for us today that we are called the children of God. That they bore the name of Jesus. Chrysostom has this to say about a name. In his sermon on how to bring up children, he said this. He advises parents to give their boy some great scriptural name to teach him repeatedly the story of the original bearer of that name. And thus to give him a standard to live up to, and an inspiration for living when he grows up to manhood. So the Christians has this privilege to be called child, or to be called a child of God. Just so to belong to maybe a great school, or to belong to a great regiment, or a great church, or a great household is an inspiration for fine living to look up to and want to live up to that standard. So even more, to bear the name of the family of God is something to keep a man's feet on the right way and to set him climbing to reach that expectation. Also, as John points out, we are not merely called the children of God, but we are the children of God. We are not just called, but we are the children of God. It was their privilege at that time when John wrote this letter. What is our privilege today? Our privilege today is no different. Our privilege today is that we are called the children of God and that we bear the name of Jesus. We have that privilege. But in all of this, there is the gift of God, and that is, there is something here that we need to know, that it is by the gift of God that a man becomes the child of God. And what is that gift? It is through Jesus Christ that we become the children or the child of God. Of course, by nature, man is a creature of God because God is the creator of all things. But it's only by the gift of God, Jesus Christ, that a man becomes a child of God. By nature, everyone is children of God, but it's only by the grace of God that a man becomes the child of God. In another perspective, I would like for us to look at this whole teaching as we think about God's love and the relationship that we should have with Jesus Christ. And there are two words I would like for you to take note of. And one is paternity and the other one is fatherhood. First of all, paternity describes a relationship in which a father is responsible for the physical existence of a son. He has his part to play in that child's life and coming into the world. But as far as paternity goes, and it can be that the father has never seen or set eyes on that son, and would not even recognize him if in later years he meets him. You see the trend of paternity? But then there is fatherhood. Fatherhood describes an intimate, loving, and continuous relationship which the father and son grows closer to each other every day. So we may not feel that someone who is a child because of paternity is even better or greater than someone who has a father and child relationship in an everyday sense. In the sense of paternity, all men are children of God, but in the sense of fatherhood, men are only children of God when God makes his gracious approach to them and they respond by saying, "Yes, I want you to be a part of my life." There is another perspective in this relationship that we are talking about. And this has to do, as John points out, with the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there is the covenant idea, which means that Israel was the covenant people of God. And that is to say, God and his own initiative had made a special approach to Israel. He was uniquely their God, and they were to be uniquely his people. That was the covenant relationship. And so, as an integral part of the covenant relationship, God gave to Israel his law. And it was the keeping of the law and the maintenance of the law that the covenant relationship depended on. All nations belonged to God and were his sons. Again, by the right of creatorship. Okay? But Israel was his son in a special sense because God had called them and they had responded in a special way. And we found this in Romans, and I'm going to just read a few verses in Romans chapter 8 and verses 14 to 17. Romans chapter 8. It says that because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And that is, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. And folks, what this is saying is that the Old Testament has the idea of the covenant relationship, but in the New Testament, we have the idea of adoption, that we are adopted into God's family because of our obedience to him. His entry into our heart is an act and a gift of God. And we need to remember that's what it is. John is also asking us to remember the possibilities of the Christian life. He's asking us to remember the possibilities. We talk about the privilege that we have, but now let's look at the possibility. And John sets before us the great fact that this life is only the beginning. We are on this journey. We are on this road and it's only the beginning. And we know what's ahead of us. And that's what we want to think about the possibilities of his children and the relationship that we should have with God. The scripture says that when Christ appears in his glory, we shall be like him. Now, does that blow your mind that you are going to be like Christ when he appears? Now, surely I believe John has in mind that there was a saying of the old creation story that man was made in the image and in the likeness of God. Genesis. Okay? That was God's intention. And that was man's destiny, that he would eventually have the image of God. We only have to look in the mirror to see how far man has fallen short of that destiny. But John has some good words for us. John believes that in Christ, a man will finally attain that destiny, and that in Christ, a man will be like Christ, and that therefore, in Christ, a man will at last bear the image and the likeness of God in Christ. And then, when Christ appears, we shall see Him and be like Him. We shall see Him and be like Him. The goal of all Christians today has been the vision of God, which is the end that we will be and see like Him. The end of all devotion is to see God. But there is a paradox here. And this is what it is. We cannot become like God unless we see Him. We cannot see Him unless we have heart purity, that we are pure in heart. For only the pure in heart shall see God. Matthew 5:8. So in order to see God, we need to purify ourselves. We need the purity which only God can give. We are not to think of this as the division God has for any special type of people, but for all of His children. There is a story that is told about a poor old simple man who would often go to the cathedral and pray. And he would always kneel before the crucifix, the statue of the crucified Lord. Somebody noticed that, and though he knelt in an attitude of prayer, his lips never move, and he never seemed to say anything. This person was asked, he asked the man, what was he doing kneeling like that? And he simply said and answered in a simple way, I look at Jesus and Jesus looks at me. What a prayer that he had. And folks, you know what? He who looks long enough in Jesus must ultimately be like Him. And that's when we think about that relationship we have with Jesus Christ. I think I'm gonna stop there. And my encouragement to the church family today is that we should strive to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. We should strive to be closer drawn to Him. Not only that, but when this happens, as Christians, we are able to distinguish between truth and error. And we will not allow anything to stop us on this journey. Because once we recognize error, we would stay away from it and we would move on to the truth and be closer drawn to God. Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word today, and we thank You for Your presence. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for being our guide and being our teacher. And I pray, O God, that You would open our hearts, open our eyes, our ears, and help us to catch a glimpse and to see what John is saying to us today, challenging us for that closer walk and relationship with Jesus. Help us today to look unto Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank You, Jesus, for hearing and answering our prayer. We love You and we want to be obedient to You all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.